Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
It is Monday here on Drive Time Sports, and we always save Monday for a particular basketball segment. I'm excited for this one because we did have a lot of thrilling games. The amount of 30-point individual games yesterday was actually insane. And the nightcap last night between the Clippers and the Grizzlies gave us a little bit of everything. We watched the Grizz put up 51 in the third. We watched the Clippers go on a 20-2 run to close out the really an entertaining night of basketball. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a game today that I'm really, really excited about coming up at 5 o'clock, Boston at Cleveland. And we'll talk about the landscape in general. Joining us over the phone right now, we have James Holis. He's half of the Dunk Tales pod. James, great to get you back on today.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I wasn't looking forward to this after the Celtics blew a 28-point lead and then a 14-point lead against the teams from the New York area, so whatever.
You know what's funny to me is the amount of 20-plus point leads that we have seen blown this year in the league. I've come to accept the fact that the NBA, more so than ever, is a game of runs. I mean, we've seen... I'd like to know how many 20-plus point leads we've seen blown this year. It seems like it's almost a nightly occasion.
Yeah, the three-pointer is the ultimate equalizer. And as more and more coaches, it's been the three-point revolution has been a long time in the making. But, like, even now, even a bad coach now realizes, hey, we got to shoot a lot of threes. That high degree of variance, you know, you hit 5 out of 7, and boom, you got 15 points in 3 minutes. So, yeah, it's the ultimate equalizer, and it's here to stay. And so, yeah, we've seen teams – get down big early. We've seen teams come back from those big leads. So
let's start by talking about not just your Celtics. I mean, in this game yesterday, it was entertaining. 131-129, New York gets the win. Emmanuel Quickley was phenomenal, had 38 points. Jason Tatum had 40. There was a lot of good basketball here. But, James, really the story is the fact that the Knicks have not lost since February 11th. I mean, we're talking about the hottest team right now in the NBA. I'm honestly, it's shocking to me that in March we're having a conversation about the Knicks being the hottest team in the league, but they are.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they are a nice foil to a team like the Clippers that are super talented, especially at the top two positions. But something about, you know, it sounds really corny, but we talk about spirit. We talk about collective, like the heart of a team. And that it's real. Like there's a certain kind of teams get an identity, and there has to be someone that it comes from. And I feel like while Julius Randle with all this energy and fire, and he's like a bull in a china shop, it took Brunson coming, and Brunson's a kind of a cerebral, hard-nosed player, but it's just a different kind of energy, and he's kind of channeled the whole Knicks as a franchise. You could like from top to bottom, every guy that came on that court. They just play in a different kind of way, and you can feel it. I don't know what's going on with Boston's spirit and energy right now, but that something just doesn't seem right. And then, like I said, a team of the Clippers, I think that was their first win last night. You know, out of six tries, they got one win with Russell Westbrook, and there's something about like the chemistry of a team that really matters.
Yeah, as far as Russell Westbrook is concerned, last night Clippers get their first win since acquiring Westbrook. 2 weeks ago, you and I, both very critical of that move. It's not that Westbrook has played bad, right? Statistically, if you look at it, he hasn't played bad. But if you're actually watching the Clippers, it just doesn't mesh. And I feel like they were extremely fortunate last night to get a win. Paul George was incredible. Kawhi Leonard took over the game in the fourth quarter. The Grizzlies look lost offensively. Important to note that Ja Morant did not play in this game. Still, it just doesn't pass the eye test, James.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, like, let's say the Grizzlies were without three of their top, what, six players? Steven Adams is still out, right?
Yep, he didn't play last night either.
Yeah, they were without four of their top seven players, and they still came down to a back-and-forth fourth quarter. That's not a good thing at all. Russell Westbrook, he's not in a vacuum. He's not a bad player, but basketball's not played in a vacuum. And speaking of vacuum, he's just one of those guys that takes up a lot of oxygen, right? Like, you have to have a roster specifically built around him, especially as he's getting older. And this roster's not built around him. And everything that the Clippers needed at point guard, he's like the opposite. I feel like, I said this on the podcast, our podcast the other day, it's almost like if a guy's, you know, feels like maybe he's doing okay at blackjack and he runs a heater and he, whatever he feels it, and he takes a hit on 19. I think the Clippers made all the right moves. They brought in the big man with the Plumlee. They brought in Eric Gordon. I thought they did enough to kind of shore up and make a final push. They got rid of John Wall, and you know maybe they should have got rid of Reggie Jackson, but they got rid of him, and then they took one more hit on 19, and they busted. But you know this is the kind of game where just because you bust, you don't leave the table. So they're sitting there looking like jerks with 24 in their hand when they needed 21. So we'll see.
Yeah, we're down to the final 15 games, I believe, for the Clippers. Right now, they're in the eighth spot. They've lost 7 out of their last 10. They've lost, 5 out of their last 6 now, I think. I mean, really, when you look at the Western Conference standings, a stretch of 2-4 basketball can drop you anywhere from 4 all the way to 11, the way things are shaped right now. I mean, there's not a lot of room for error for a lot of teams, the Clippers being one of them. The Western Conference is crazy.
Yeah, and now for any Clippers fans out there, the silver lining is I thought the Grizzlies, they had a really bad stretch. You know, they lost I think like 6 out of 7 or something. They had a really really bad stretch, and I looked at it, do a double take. They're still number 2 in the West.
Yeah.
So just the way 2-4 can drop you, you know, 6 spots, winning 5 out of 7 can you know bring you from 8th all the way up to maybe 3rd or whatever. So. But this is where the rubber's meeting the road, and you have to start playing well. And nothing I've seen from the Clippers are showing me that like they are like on the cusp of something. They're wiping their brow after a close win over a severely depleted Grizzlies team. That's not a good thing.
Another team that we can talk about in the Western Conference that really, I mean, Steph Curry comes back yesterday. I want to talk about the Warriors. A loss for Golden State. Steph didn't look bad at 27 points in that game. There were stretches against the Lakers where he actually looked pretty good. This is a team that probably isn't going to catch Phoenix. I don't see them catching Sacramento. Odds are we're going to get Sacramento and Golden State, in my mind, in the opening round, that 4-5 matchup. Not a bad spot for Golden State to be in. But I do wonder, James, just how far this team could go. You talk about playing good basketball over a stretch of time. Golden State did that without Steph Curry. They played really, really good basketball, won 5 straight, if I remember correctly, moved all the way up inside the top 5.
Which is very impressive. Now let's see if, as the home stretch kicks in, can they now? Obviously, people think it's you know it sounds silly to say it, but yes, they're reintegrating one of the best players in the league, and they have to make sure they kind of you know the game is different with Steph Curry, and now they have to make sure they get back and play their best basketball. And we still have their original problem that we started on the season. The starting five can be great. Their bench is still very spotty, and that's going to be the thing. Where's Wiggins at right now? I'm not sure why he hasn't been playing. But Wiggins has to be reintegrated. They still have some work to do because they're still, you know, now they're a few games over 500, but they've been a pretty average team all year. They're having a good stretch now. But like we said, it's a game of runs. It's a long season. Let's see, can they be playing their best basketball as the playoffs roll around? And the Kings, young and athletic, are probably the kind of team they might not really want to see because Golden State's a little older now. So this will be interesting to see.
Are you aware that Golden State is 27-7 at home and 7-24 on the road this year? Are you aware of that stat?
I'm very aware. Every announcer makes sure they beat us over the head with that, and that shows you a team that's a veteran team. They have the nice home cooking. The role players play better at home, but when you go on the road and you have that kind of discrepancy, I that's hard to say that you're a good basketball team. And I know injuries have happened and they have guys in the lineup, but, you know, even when Steph Curry was there, they weren't a good road team. So that's definitely something to think about. It's definitely something to look at. And we see these Warriors as, hey, the Warriors have done this over so many years. 7-8 years for a core to be together is a very long time in the NBA. All three of their best players are in their 30s now. This is not a young team. A lot of mileage on Draymond. Iguodala is almost, you know, he's basically a cheerleader now, so can he really provide when they need it? They are still missing those key veterans that kind of round out the roster, and let's see if they can make one more push deep into the playoffs.
And as far as home team to road teams go, if you jump over to the Eastern Conference, there's one team in the top 6 that has a losing record on the road. It's Cleveland. 27-7 at home, 13-19 on the road. Completely different makeup, right? When you take a look at the roster construction, it's not even remotely comparable to what Golden State has yet. This is another team, good squad, top 4 in the Eastern Conference. They can't win on the road.
Yeah, and their problem, I think, is a little different, right? This is the first year of their new superstar. They're top heavy, you know. They have those two big men, and they got those two guards. And that, other than that, then it's a bunch of scrap pieces, kind of. So I still think Cleveland is one kind of impact two-way wing away. Somebody better than, you know, I think was Isaac Okoro, who just hasn't been very good, and all these other guys are trying to play at the three spot. But they probably need a capable three, and if, you know, shore up the bench a little bit more, and they'll like next season they're going to be really, really, really trouble. As of right now, it's going to be all about the explosiveness of their guards if they catch fire at the right time. So I wouldn't have, if I was a Cleveland fan, I wouldn't have any issues, because I know that our core is pretty young still, and we're still blossoming.
I got to get your thoughts on the Phoenix Suns. They pick up a big win yesterday. They've now won three straight. Kevin Durant looks pretty good in a Suns uniform. To me, this is the team to beat in the Western Conference, James. It really is. I just think that there's enough time for the Phoenix Suns to really get acclimated with one another. I like this roster front to back. They did not give up a ton to get Kevin Durant. I think it's a seamless fit with Devin Booker. He's playing with a little spunk. When I look at the Phoenix Suns right now, to me, this is the team that I would not want to play in the Western Conference. I think that they will overtake Memphis. I think they overtake Sacramento. Not enough time to get past Denver, but I believe the Suns will go into the playoffs as the number two seed. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to begrudgingly give the Nuggets their flowers, because they've been consistently building what they have right now for years. I still give them the fight advantage just because of the continuity factor. But yes, having Kevin Durant and Booker looks a little bit like having Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. The key difference, though, I think, is DeAndre Ayton. And Chris Paul is really a playmaker. He really can kind of organize all those guys. So they have something that the Nets didn't have. They have more options than just those two guys. And Kevin Durant, still Kevin Durant. You know, you get him healthy in the playoffs with a healthy Devin Booker, who we saw take a team to the finals. You don't need as much from Chris Paul. Ayton can just, you know, if he can just be happy screening and rolling and getting the occasional 25-point game, They really are tough. You know, we can question their depth, and that's rightfully so. T.J. Warren and Cam Payne is really all they got off the bench. But when you got a starting five like they have, you might just not need a lot off the bench.
You know what else Phoenix has that Kevin Durant didn't have in Brooklyn? He's got a Monty Williams right now. And I know everything that's gone on with the Suns organization in the front office, I mean, there's been a lot of question marks. There's been a lot of really bad publicity. The fact of the matter is, you got the ultimate professional, Monty Williams. So you have Chris Paul, as you alluded to. He's a playmaker. Kevin Durant did not really have that in Cleveland, in Brooklyn. And then you look at what Phoenix has on the bench. I can't think of anybody else I would rather have for this current situation than Monty Williams. The guy's an ultimate professional.
Yeah, man. And real quick, I want to give a shout out, because I think Jacques Vaughn's been doing a great job.
Yes, he has.
You know, we saw the Nets had a great run before KD got hurt. I think they won, like, I don't know, like 12 out of 15 or some nonsense. They had a really good, strong run before Kyrie upended the cart. But, yes, Monty has proven to be a great, not only tactician, and he's installed a really really good system there on the court. Off the court, he seems like a leader of men, and the guys kind of rally around him. Even though I'm going to question his relationship with DeAndre. That's been a really strange thing. But with Ayton. But yes, they have a strong coach. They have probably the best two guard in the league. They have the best scoring wing in the league. Like, it's hard. I do want to overlook it because I hate the Nuggets. But, you know, yeah, the Suns definitely have vaulted themselves into contender status.
You know, when you mention Denver and you say you don't want to overlook Jokic, you know what's sad is that, and I'm with you on this, right? Here I am tooting the horn of the Phoenix Suns. Jokic is on the verge of winning his third consecutive MVP. And that's rare air, right? I mean, when you look at historically how good this guy has been over the past two seasons and this season, it almost feels like maybe he doesn't get the due that he deserves. And I don't know why that is. I don't know how we've gotten to this point. But when a guy is in the MVP conversation for three consecutive seasons, it's rare air, James.
It sucks that this is how the kind of the fandom and the basketball media community has been, because he hasn't had a lot of playoff success the last couple of years. That's exactly why. Everything vacillates between regular season stats, dominance, and then you want to see some playoff success. So, yeah, Jokic kind of, he's never the sexy pick. He plays like a dancing bear. There's a lot of jokes about how he plays, but the numbers, the resume right now is unblemished, except for the fact he's not getting a lot of playoff success. And even though his playoff numbers look fine, he's been good. The team hasn't won. So that's what it's coming down to right now. And if they don't make a deep run this year, it's funny, he might win MVP number three. But we're going to hear, you know, the criticism will grow louder if they don't make a deep playoff run this year. So I can't take anything away from him. It's weird, though, the defense. He's one of the only MVP guys who doesn't really defend that, you know, it's kind of just overlooked. But it is what it is.
James Holas again, our guest today as we talk more NBA basketball. James, always great to get you on the show. Before I let you go, of course, you got to give us more info on the podcast and, of course, Twitter.
Dunk Tales, me and my buddy JP, we're both going through it. He's a Clippers fan, and I'm a Celtics fan, and right now we're both down the dumps. And on Twitter, at Snotty Drippin, homage to the great Scottie Pippen. I just talk basketball and make silly jokes and whatever.
You know what?
I'm depressed right now, buddy. I'm down.
Yeah,
right?
but
42-point leads this weekend.
You don't need to be. You're all right. I'm telling you, you're okay. All right, now, as a Laker fan, I can't believe I'm about to say what I'm going to say on the radio. I would rather JP go through hard times right now than you, because I can't think, outside of Memphis and the Clippers, I can't think of two more unlikable teams from my fan perspective in the NBA.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It's the Lakers, man. This is going to be such a fascinating season to look back on and dissect. Everything is about timing, and they made the moves, but it was too late. Now LeBron's injured, but maybe because of the minutes load, and now Anthony Davis is playing again like a superstar, but they needed that from him weeks ago. Everything is about timing, and this is where it becomes tough for, as a Celtics fan, right? I'm going to say this as an NBA fan, though. You want to see the Lakers and everything. They put their money, they push their chips in the middle of the table, but it might be too late. They got the wrong cards at the wrong time, you know, and that's what it's looking like, because now LeBron's hurt. Everything's just not lining up the way it needs to. And that's what happens when you bet on an aging superstar and then another guy who's kind of injury prone. So it's not fun. I'm not making fun of you guys. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, I think they've provided hope. You know, I think that if they can get LeBron back with this group, there is hope. But in a sense, when I watch the Clippers, I don't want hope for the Clippers. Like, I don't want any of it. I don't know why. You even being a Celtics fan, you're fine. Clippers, I don't even want to give them hope.
Yeah, I'm really wondering if they have to consider actually just hitting the detonation button after this year, which sounds crazy because on one hand, they have these two superstars on the contract, and that's what every team wants. But something just seems to be off about the mental makeup of this team, and maybe it's a coaching thing. Maybe it's Coach Lou needs to go. But yeah, you invest this much money and you have this much talent around those guys, and you still just struggling like this. It's tough. It's really tough to see a good way out.
James, always a pleasure to get you on. Can't wait for next week.
Whatever, buddy. I'm depressed.
Cheer up. Playoffs are right around the corner. Celtics are fine. You're good. You're good. Hang in there. We'll talk again next Monday.
Thanks for having me on, bro.
We're going to pause one more time. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.